10 days ago, when George asked me if I would stand in for him today, I thought about it. I looked in my diary and I thought, well, yes, I've probably got time to prepare something. What's your subject, George? Oh, he says, seasons. He said, the next one in the series that Alex has given us. I said, well, what's the subject? He said, well, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. Wow! I thought about it. And then George said, well, because you're doing it short notice, you can preach on anything you like. So I spent the next couple of days thinking about what I might preach on. And I looked through my book of sermons and I thought, no, I've preached that at Sig Cup and that one's not appropriate. And nothing happened. And then last Friday, not yesterday, Friday this week, Friday the week before, I was at a Gideon prayer meeting. And the man who was leading said, my subject for this evening, my Bible reading is from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Wow. Lord, you're telling me something, aren't you? And so I decided that I had to say yes, not only to George, but yes to the Lord. And so here we are on Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 5. Now then, do I turn this on, Rachel, or do I just click it? Just click it.
That's better.
That's better. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones together. A first glance at that text, I thought, well, there's two obvious things on this. There's the building aspect, and there's the agricultural aspect. And so I decided, okay, let's move on. Building, some of the oldest buildings in the world are made of stone. Some of the finest buildings in the world are made of stone. A gathered stone because of the durability of stone, how it lasts, how it resists the elements, and so on. And they last for centuries. Now, I don't know if any of you have been to that place on there. I know two people in this congregation have, because they were with the photographer when I took the photograph. But it's an old ruins. We don't know anything about the civilization that lived there. They're long gone. And the only vestige we have of that civilization are the stones that were built up and later scattered as the civilization disappeared. Zimbabwe ruins, if anybody is interested in what they are. And that's fine. We know nothing about the communities, we know nothing about them. You know, the prophet Micah foretold the fate of the temple in Jerusalem when he wrote, therefore, because of you, Zion will be a ploughed field like a field. Jerusalem will become like a heap of rubble. The temple hill, a mound of overgrown with thickets. And all this was confirmed by Jesus when he was with the disciples as they were leaving the temple. And the disciples turned to Jesus and said, look, teacher, what massive stones. What magnificent buildings. Do you see all these great buildings? And Jesus replied, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. And so we have what is we now know is the Wailing Wall. Not one stone left. Well, there are a few, of course. The Wailing Wall, the west wall of the temple still remains. But in that destruction of the temple, ordered by the Emperor Nero, thousands were slaughtered, the stones were scattered, and the temple in Jerusalem has never been rebuilt. The Wailing Wall is all that remains. Wailing because people go there to pray, as the Jews remember the history of their people in the past. You see, in some cases, buildings are knocked down and the stones are scattered, but then other people come and gather them up and rebuild with them, and new buildings come up and are replacing the buildings that have been knocked down. I don't know if you looked at Buster's up at the corner there this week. They were knocking that down. But I did notice some people gathering some of the bricks up, the better ones, and stacking them up to be reused. The principle still remains. gathering and scattering. And then there's the agricultural side of it. We're acquainted with the parable of Jesus, where he told about the fate of the seed, the sower scattered on the ground. Some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. And when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. We know that story well. Having reached that point, I thought, that's all I can get from this text. I've finished. Where am I going to go from here? Well, I've spent actually about 8-9 minutes at the most. Shall I sit down now? No, there's no chance of that. Because there's more into this story than that. And my thoughts turn to, I forgot that bit. Some of the gathered stones in the field that the people scattered could be rebuilt. And that's a sheep pen. But I came to this text, 1 Peter chapter 2. You also, like living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So the scattering and the gathering of stones can be likened to living stones, as Peter calls them. Christians are the living stones in the gospel. And like you and me, we're all the living stones of Christ in this generation. And we, as a church, that text can apply to us. There's an interesting story in the book of Acts in three parts. Hilary's going to come and read to us.
Morning. Our first of the three readings comes from Acts chapter 8, starting at the beginning of the chapter, and it's on page 1101. If anyone hasn't brought their own Bible, there are some on the windowsills. You can ask people to pass you if you wish. So this is Paul writes, this is Acts chapter 8. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him, but Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. And then we move to Acts chapter 11, verse 19, which is on page 1105. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus and Antioch, telling them the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. And lastly, from Acts chapter 13, beginning at the first verse, on page 1107. In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who'd been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Thanks be to God for his word.
Thank you, Hilary. Three passages there that are a clear telling of the story of the scattering and the gathering in the continuing circle of events in the life of the early church in Antioch. City of Antioch, from which Paul spread out to spread the good news of Jesus, which ultimately led to us here in England, British Isles, coming to know Christ centuries later. Jackie wrote this week, "Antakya is an important place for the Lord, not just to me." And she took this photograph that you see on the screen now, at the top of a flight of steps on an early morning walk, where she was praying for the city. There's a lot of prayer being offered for Antioch or Antakya over the years. Let's come back to that reading that Hilary read to us. See, in Acts chapter 8, there was a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And the apostles were scattered to various places, to Judea and Samaria. And it would appear from Acts chapter 11 that some arrived in Antioch. And there, as well as in other places, they preached the message of Jesus Christ. And in preaching the message of Jesus Christ, many believed. And so the scattered from Jerusalem gathered in other places and grew in number, such that by the time of Acts chapter 13, we read that there were prophets and teachers in that city of Antioch. And among them were Barnabas and Saul, or Paul as we know him. And it appears that at this point, the Holy Spirit interrupted their gathering, interrupted this meeting that they were having. And the Holy Spirit said to them, "Set apart two men for the service to which God is calling." You see, in that gathering, suddenly there was another scattering taking place. And we see this ongoing circle of scattering and gathering and scattering. I ask you the question, do we sometimes wonder why we don't see this movement of the Holy Spirit among us? And I think this passage emphasizes the need for us to gather together for worship, for prayer, and for fasting. I came across this quote as I was reading. I've lost it. Don't worry. Which actually summed up the situation. It says, so often in the church, we look at the scriptures and say we want to go back to the Old Testament time, the New Testament times. But sometimes we need to get to the lesson that the scriptures teach us and not the situation. The gathering and worshipping for prayer and fasting. I see in these stories that from Acts that the leadership were present at these gatherings for worship and for prayer. And this is the example we must follow if we are to reach the full potential of our current gathered membership here. Make it a matter of prayer as we approach our annual general meeting in 2 weeks' time. A couple of weeks ago, when Martha was preaching on season, she mentioned this SBC 100 booklet. A few of us have probably still got copies of it. But it was interesting that when Martha said that, I got my copy out and started to read it. That book was edited by John Humphreys. I think he wrote quite a lot of it, if not all of it. Just an aside, how many of you were here when the church was 100 years old? Put your hand up. Look round. A lot of newcomers. Thank you for coming. Thank you for staying. You 100-year-old, well, not 100 years. But that book makes interesting reading. It makes interesting reading because on the last page there's a comment about declining evening congregation, struggling youth work, and the unwillingness of members to be committed to corporate prayer. Sounds like it could have been written yesterday, doesn't it? Isn't it amazing? That's the situation. But in all the years that SBC has been here, as you read through that book, there is a continue coming and going. There's a coming, a continuing gathering into fellowship and a scattering of the membership. When Christine and I and our family first arrived here in November 1968, we came through that door. We found some seats roughly where Christine is sitting now. But I for one moment did not think that we would be here for very long. Our married life in those early years was a question for moving from one contract to another, so we moved on and on and on and on. 3 years later, after arriving here, we went to Zambia. Amazing, isn't it? The situation was continuing. But in 1977, we returned. And we became part of the fixtures and fittings of SBC since then. And one of the recurring themes, again, of this 100 booklet is that the church should grow to impact upon our community here with a large building and a membership of hundreds. But it never happened. The best laid plans of men. It seems to me, as I look back over the history of this church, that the Lord's plan for us is to continue to be a gathering and scattering church. Now, no one volunteered to write the next 30 years' history of the church. But as I look back over 30 years, I see a gathering of people and a scattering of members into other fields of service. We see we've had pastors come, Tony Mason, Ronnie Barham, David Rouse, all here for a season with their talents and their teaching, building up the congregation, but then following the Lord's calling to some other field of service. At the end of the 100 years, we saw Diane Norton going to Nepal, Ken and Rosina going to India, Rosemary Bamba to Peru. Okay, Ken and Rosina and Diane are back with us. Rosemary Bamba is elsewhere. But since then, we've had people come and go into missionary service. Christophe and Catherine Savage here for a season. Then they went to Jordan, from Jordan to France. In ministry, we had Gary Seradamini and Gary Birch and Andy Masters, all becoming pastors and church leaders, here for a season and then going. In music, we had Robin Haig, who wrote special music for Christmas and Easter. Now, no reflection on current musicians at all meant by that, but Robin was here for a season and blessed us with his skills in music. In charity work, Lisa Ashton, Nicole, started the Winnie Mabasco Foundation in South Africa. Here for a season, moved on and continued in Christian service. Adam Parfitt recently has gone into Cribs, all involved in charity work. So we see more into church communities, and so many more moving off into church communities across the country. The list is too long, but all that we know, we hear about them and we communicate with them, remember with fondness the welcome and the training and the provision provided by this little church on the outskirts of London, a place of gathering and scattering as a way of extending Christ's kingdom both at home and abroad. And then we've been blessed by retiring full-time Christian workers who have joined our congregation. We look back over Donald Munkham and his wife Joyce. More recently we've had George Hyder and Margaret with us. Two examples of gathering for a season who've come and in some cases gone. Some to be with the Lord, some to other places. But have blessed this gathered congregation for a season. Back in the Old Testament, Joshua was about to enter the promised land. Joshua chapter 4, verses 4 to 7, reads like this. So Joshua gathered together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God, into the middle of the Jordan, each of you to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of Israel, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stories are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. So if those I previously mentioned were the living stones of SBC over the last 30 or 130 years, what do these stones mean? Tell your children, tell your new congregation that they are a memorial to the Lord's faithfulness to SBC over all those years of gathering men and women together and young people for training and for teaching, in order to send them out as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. That word came up in our prayers. Ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Across this land and to many parts of the world. Precious stones indeed. What more precious stone has he gathered together today in this congregation here to scatter in the future, that the next chapter of SBC history will be greater than the one that went before. In conclusion, let me just return to an earlier point about what we do when we gather. I mentioned worship and teaching and prayer and fasting. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we read that early church gathered together. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and prayer. The breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, Eucharist is known by many names. But it was and still is the basic act of faith of the believers. And we will now gather at the Lord's table. And we're going to start by singing a song which reminds us that we're not alone as we share the bread and the wine. Please remain seated as we sing, as we are gathered. Jesus is here.